Hello and welcome to The Kosh. I'm your host, Timber Smith, and The Kosh is a podcast that spotlights people who've had an association with The Kosh or the surrounding Fox Cities area. Good morning, Kosh listeners. Oh, don't let me forget that The Kosh is sponsored by Sturgeon Spirits Craft Distillery, The Kosh's newest tradition. Yes. How are we doing this morning? Kosh listeners, I am super excited to be here with you today. A, it's super sunny out, which makes for great energy. If you've never been in the space, the sun matters because it brightens up the space, sends the good energy. Since we're already here early in the morning, that just means we're going to talk about really amazing, cool things. It's going to add to the conversation. And then, more importantly, because, well, let me just say this. And I think you already know what I'm going to say. I don't know why I continue to get these amazing, amazing guests. And, you know, no doubt today we have another amazing guest. I'm super excited about this conversation. I just think we're going to be able to cover all sorts of things. We're definitely going to get to know this person better. And I think this person wants you to get to know them a little better for all sorts of reasons. So, you know, without any further ado, this week's guest is Austin Hammond. Austin, what's up?
Hey, Timber, how are you?
I'm doing good. How's your morning going?
It's going really well. I'm really excited to be on The Kosh. And like you said, the sun's out and it feels like it's spring, but it's still winter. So we're in this kind of weird space, but I'm not going to complain.
Why you bring up that word? Don't bring up that word.
We're gonna just move past it.
Wait,
spring.
I'm already moving past it. Look, I'm not gonna lie. I have an in-house weather person known as my wife, and she keeps up with the weather pretty thoroughly. And she named next week that there's several days that are gonna be in the 50s. And I was like, February is trying to lose its mind.
It really is, but I'm not here to complain about that.
Oh, no. No, I'm ready. That's why I said don't bring up that word. Right. Just start saying we're in spring.
We're in spring. All right.
You know, I'm a firm believer that you must speak it into existence. Spring. Okay. You ready to jump in, Austin?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Austin, can you please share a little something about yourself and your association with The Kosh and the surrounding Fox Cities region?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name's Austin Hammond, and I am a candidate for mayor of Menasha. My wife Amber and I live in Menasha. We met in college in student government. I'm a firm believer that student government is the best place to meet your future spouse.
I like that.
She was there for a resume builder. I was there for a wife, and because I was really excited about being involved in student government. So my connections living in Menasha, serving on the Common Council, and then I got my undergraduate in political science, and I'm currently working on my Master of Public Administration right now.
Ah, you're in the MPA program, huh?
Yeah.
That's a fantastic program at UW Oshkosh.
It really is, and I wish it got more hype because it deserves it. Dr. Ford and all of them do just a phenomenal job with it.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And, well, what you didn't say was that, but I know that you're a Titan.
Yes.
You got to say you're a Titan.
All right. I am a Titan.
This is Titan territory.
It is.
All right. That's fantastic. And also that your wife actually has done, and she is a Kosh alumni herself.
She is. She's a Kosh alumni. She's a Titan. She gave the commencement address. She's very, very active in the community. And if you haven't listened to her episode yet, you definitely should because it's very moving and really amazing.
It is. It's one of the best ones I've ever recorded. Like, the energy was fantastic inside of that. So let me just ask this. Where'd you go to high school? And what'd you do while you were in high school?
Yeah. So I went to high school at Wyawega Fremont, which is probably about 35 minutes from Oshkosh, and I did an array of different things, I think, like most people in high school, trying to figure out what you like. So wasn't good at sports, I'll preface that, but I did wrestling and football and track for a little bit, and then pivoted to choir and doing some theater and things like that. So I dabbled in a little bit of everything during high school, I would say.
Okay. And did you take that same approach at UWO?
Yeah, I think at UW Oshkosh, I really just enjoyed I love the concept of liberal arts degrees and that it gives you an opportunity that you're going to have to take classes that have nothing to do with what you're probably going to have a career in, but you can try different classes, different programs. So absolutely.
All right. And I'm just drilling you down with questions, right, Austin. But okay, so what you do professionally is not running. Right. What do you do?
So my day job is I am the development director at the Atlas Science Center in Appleton. So it was previously known as the Paper Discovery Center, but it is a STEM science center with just phenomenal staff. I appreciate everybody I work with. When you come to the Atlas Science Center, you're going to get two educator-led experiences. There's 26 different ones throughout the year, but a lot of what I do is collaborative partnerships, fundraising for the just general operating costs, to the more exciting things like different exhibits we have coming up. One that I'm working on and I'm really proud of is a new exhibit we're going to have go up later this spring, early summer is the hope. Or actually, I should say summer, early fall. I'm going to correct myself there. It's called Wisconsin Industry Innovations, or WIN for short, and it is going to be a exhibit that highlights all of the great industries that make up Northeast Wisconsin. We just really want to be a place where folks that are in middle school to high school age that aren't sure what they want to do, to recognize that success is going to UW-Oshkosh, because I need to put a plug in for UW-Oshkosh or another four-year entity or institution, I should say. Apprenticeships are jumping right into the workplace. Like, we just want to be highlighting all of the great opportunities here in the Fox Cities.
That, I haven't had a chance to, I mean, I know where it's at, and I haven't had a chance to walk in there yet. I would love to come and check that out. I do believe that two of the their doctors, professors, maybe, oh, well, maybe not professors, but I'm just going to say doctors who are associated with there have reached out, and I'm hoping that they want to go ahead and do their own episode of the Kosh. So we might be able to get a little more in depth on that.
Yeah, Ashley and Jen are great. They both have their doctorates. They're our lead educators. One is the director of our education at Atlas. And yeah, I told them they should reach out. And from what I had heard last, they're really excited. So I hope that you all get an episode set up. I think that'd be really cool.
I think it would be really, really cool too. So if you weren't doing what you do right now, what would you be doing?
So if I could make whatever I wanted happen at the snap of a finger, I would have a job where I get to travel all the time. I love the Fox Cities. I love Menasha, so it is not that I don't enjoy it. So I want to be very clear on that. But there's something just really rewarding and fulfilling about traveling the world and just being in awe of somewhere new and finding things that you like there that you want to bring back home to where you love too. So not that that's a straightforward answer, but these people that seem to just travel all over the world all of the time, money does not seem to be an issue. That's what I would do.
I agree with you. I think traveling would be cool. What I think is cool about travel is it just helps to give you better perspective on things.
Yes.
You know, and so you can see a whole different lot of different ways to live. And there's no way that that can't just be an advantage for how you engage and interact with people or have empathy for others and how they live.
Well, right. And I'm a firm believer that one of the best investments one can make in themselves is to travel. And you don't even have to travel far, but just to leave what your comfort zone is. It gives you both a deeper appreciation of the people around you in the world, but also it makes you love your home more because you have those experiences. So I cannot encourage people enough to travel. I think it's so important.
What I think it helps with, particularly like, okay, you're vying for an opportunity to serve people, right? The more types of people that you get an opportunity to see and see how they live and add into different thought processes, and it can only create better outcomes.
Well, absolutely. And then you don't have to recreate the wheel. If you go somewhere else and you visit somewhere else and they're doing something really well, take some of those ideas and pointers, take the cue and take it home and start really pouring into your own community. Not because there's anything wrong with your community, but because someone else is doing an outstanding job.
Facts. Well, you know, look, to create improvement, it doesn't mean anything has to be wrong.
Right.
Just means there's an opportunity for improvement.
Exactly.
And, you know, I don't I think that's a fantastic thing. I like that. Travel. Count me in on that.
All right, let's go.
I have not done enough traveling in my life. You know, life happens.
Yes.
Oh, really, bills happen. That's what bills happen. That kind of kills the travel budget. Okay, so you ready to jump into the first segment?
I am.
Okay. The first segment is called What in the World is Going On With? And that's where you start with the phrase, what in the world? And then you tell us what's on your mind.
All right. What in the world is going on with Fair Maps?
Ooh, bruh. Let's go.
I just feel like we've reached this huge victory over the last week, and I don't know that it's truly set in for everybody. I just feel like for the last decade and a half, we've just had a lot of folks that don't feel truly represented, and like their elected officials are accountable to them because of the maps that were previously drawn. So I am so ecstatic that the legislature was able to put forward maps and the governor signed them into law. And I think this is going to really create a new beginning for the state of Wisconsin. And I couldn't be more excited about it. And I think we're going to see some really outstanding people run for office who are very intuitive to their constituents because of the competitive nature of the races. I'm not here advocating for a left or a right pertaining to the maps. What I'm advocating for is there is going to be more accountability because of the competitive nature of them being drawn for the people to pick who represents them. And to me, that's a good day.
I couldn't agree with you more, because that's the thing. The point is for an elected official is to represent the constituents. And if things are jimmy-rigged to the point that you know who's going to win before there's even a running, and that person doesn't feel the need to truly represent its district, its region, its city, municipality, its county, whoever, right? That makes no sense. And then you're disenfranchising your people who live in your region.
Well, that's just it. And when you have these gerrymandered maps that draw all these 60-40 districts, that not only gives that advantage to whatever that party is for the demographic, right? But that also increases the door for extremism, because if you have that wider margin that you will not lose in any scenario, no matter how hard folks try, you can be a lot more partisan or to the left or to the right than maybe your constituents genuinely are. So I think having these maps more competitive will have more authentic people just running that are really intuitive to their constituency, and will probably be able to just bring some really common sense to the state legislature.
Yes. I mean, to me, that was one of the beauties of Wisconsin prior, was you never knew who anyone could win.
Well, right.
Right.
And then the same night, you might be devastated and ecstatic because we live in a purple state. Like, you might have one person that wins and loses, and you're both happy and sad.
Right. And to me, that's as it should be.
Exactly.
Right. I'm just saying, for real, it's as it should be. And it shouldn't be an already established outcome. And our candidates should be running to represent our, you know, their constituents.
Right.
I can't stress that enough, because when you have the jimmy rig, that then you're not. You're pitting a side against another. You all of a sudden it's more about villainizing another side. And at the end of the day, we all gotta live together.
Well, and that's just it. And the polarization takes the humanity out of it.
Yes.
And there's a lot of awfully good people with a lot of different opinions that just want to make their community and their state better.
Facts. And who said our way is always the right way?
Right.
That's why we always need new ideas, new people, kind of circulating things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I like that one. All right. My what in the world is going on with? And, you know, I go through my what in the worlds, and sometimes they're really serious and sometimes they're just life. And so my what in the world is going on with is dogs and socks.
Yeah, what is with that?
All right, here's my thing. Okay, so as y'all know, I got a dog named Bosco, the podcast dog, and he loves socks. and he steals socks. I can't tell you how many socks I've lost to this man, because once he gets his hands on a sock, it's over. It's a wrap. And not only that, he is now mastered the art of opening the basket, the dirty clothes hamper, and then grab socks. And then he hides them. So he puts them. So his bed is actually under our bed. That's his favorite place to sleep. It's under our bed. And so he hides socks under the bed that he gnaws on at his will. And I'm just trying to understand, what is it with dogs and socks? Now, see, I thought this was just Bosco the podcast dog being his naughty boy self that he often is, as y'all are well aware. But apparently, this is not just a Bosco thing. This is a dog thing.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting, because I didn't realize he had an alter ego. I walked in and he was super nice, but to know he has this whole side story that he steals your socks, that isn't nice.
Well, look, Bosco's like anybody else. You know, he's nice to company, and then he's naughty at home with us. He's that dude. But I'm just like, what is it? Why is it socks, number one? And then why hide the socks? So, like, we don't find these socks until later because he's hiding socks. And then I'm looking for it. Why don't I have this match? See, I thought my socks were disappearing because of the magic dryer that tends to eat socks too, right? Because we know about that.
Right.
It seems like two walks in, one walks out. Don't know where that's happening. But what I'm starting to understand is I don't think two is ever making it to the dryer. So I don't think the dryer is eating my socks anymore. I think I've got Bosco the podcast dog, who is on some real different stuff about this sock game.
Well, yeah, and maybe they're into monopolizing on the disappearing socks already. Maybe dogs are onto something. They already know that the socks go missing already, so they're just capitalizing on it.
Bruh. Wait, they might. You say, are you saying there's a greater conspiracy of genius where they're like, well, they're going to blame it on the dryer, so therefore I'm going to steal the sock and I'm not going to get in trouble because he's going to blame it on the dryer.
Exactly. Man's best friend. I'm just saying they might have seen a window of opportunity and they're just moving in on it.
Bruh. You might have something right there, Austin. That might be true. They're geniuses. They know. Wait, I will say this. Our dogs definitely know how to work our emotions. Like, yeah. This dog gets more belly rubs than it's just ridiculous. And he knows. He's just like, all right, I'm going to come over here. I'm going to roll up on mom. I'm going to look. I'm going to give her the eye. He's like, hey, you know, I'm sitting here. I'm looking cute. Can I get a belly rub? And
right.
Almost guaranteed, he's going to get the belly rub.
Yeah. It's amazing that how pets can pull at the heartstrings, and it's just next thing you know, just kind of giving into whatever they want.
Facts. They win all the time.
They do.
All right. Yes, and we give them a lot of treats too. So, okay. So that's my what in the world is going on with. If anyone out there in the cache has any ideas for how I can, A, win this game of, because socks ain't cheap.
They're not.
I buy nice socks. You know, I buy the nice socks, the socks where, you know, it's got a little design on it and they might be a little funky. You know, I like socks. They're colorful. They're fun. And he's eating the good socks. If he was eating the old white tubes, I wouldn't be mad at him. But he's not eating the old white tubes. Like, he's selective in these socks, too.
Maybe you should get him some old socks, like the cheap ones, as a gift, and it would make him not want your good socks anymore.
You know, here's the funny thing. I thought that. I thought, okay, I'm going to buy cheap socks.
Bruh.
And give him like his own sock collection. My wife vetoed it.
Oof.
Because I thought, okay, buying a pack of tube socks is probably cheaper than all the dog toys that we buy him that he tears up. And I'll just buy him these socks because they apparently make him really happy, right?
Right.
But she was totally anti that because she's just like, he's going to eat the socks. Well, I get that, but he eats the toys too. So what's wrong? Isn't it a horse apiece?
I mean, to my logic, yeah, it seems like a horse apiece.
Yeah, I haven't won that battle. Okay. So we're going to jump into the next segment. And I'm really starting to enjoy this segment a lot with our guests. And this segment is called 21 Questions. And even though it's called 21 questions, we do not have 21 questions. What we do have is several questions, but these are such good questions that maybe we'll get 21 answers out of it.
Maybe.
Maybe. Okay. Austin, you ready for 21 questions?
I am.
All right. What are you grateful for?
I'm really grateful for my wife. She's just been a huge support for me over the last year with running for mayor. She keeps me grounded. She encourages. I'm really inspired by her, and I'm really proud of all the amazing things she does for the Fox Cities. And she's just, she's just a really incredible woman. So I'm very grateful for my wife, Amber.
What motivates you?
The amazing people I meet when I'm out in the community. Running for mayor has been a real joy. And what keeps me going is when I knock on a door and I can relate with somebody, or I see in their eyes that they care about the future of our city and that they are people and they want our city to keep moving forward in a really positive direction.
What grounds you?
What grounds me is my faith. Just personally, I'm very intentional with my faith not to shove it down other people's throats. I think we should all live and respect each other for what we believe. But as a Christian and following Jesus, I think it's just really amazing that I get to follow a man who flipped tables and economic suppression of those that oppressed others economically and washed the feet of the marginalized and the underrepresented. And I think that's just really cool.
Did you just modernize the story of Jesus?
I hope I did.
No, I mean, I think that's fantastic. The way you put it was you literally modernized it, brought in today's terms, but it is exactly what he did.
Yeah.
Okay. What does success look like to you?
Yeah, this is a good one. Success to me is knowing that twofold. I've done everything that I can, and I feel like I left no stone unturned in my efforts for whatever it is. And two, that the work that I'm doing is making a difference in other people's lives, my community, and making the lives of people easier. That is really important to me.
What irritates you?
When people chew with their mouth open, respectfully, please, please close your mouth when you're eating. That is what irritates me the most.
Tell us how you really feel.
I'll probably just leave it at that. That's how I really feel. And then I think the other thing that irritates me is when people have lots to say about you and have never met you and just are spreading things that are just inaccurate. Those two things. So chewing with your mouth open is not a winner with me. And when people talk about other people without never meeting them and not having any of the context and are unwilling to meet them to have the conversation.
Facts. What scares you?
Bats. They're petrifying, and I have a story to this. So as a kid, my folks lived out in the country, and bats were very prevalent. And at night, I would be tasked with taking the dogs out to the fence to go run around, do their business, and then come back inside. And one time, I had a bat fly right in front of my face, and to me, and I will never forget it because it horrifies me to this day. It was like slow motion, and I saw this thing fly right in front of me. I felt like my light flashed before my eyes, and for weeks after that, I don't remember how old I was, but for weeks after that, I would wear a helmet or take a basket or something and put it over my head when I took the dogs outside because bats are nothing to mess around with. Those things are scary.
Bruh. Facts. No Batman for you.
No.
And they are scary.
They are.
I mean, you know, I don't think they're dangerous per se, but they just look terrifying.
Well, look, listen, eat the bugs. Yes. I appreciate you.
Yes, eat all of them.
Be on your way, but leave me alone. Don't come near me.
You have a real love-hate relationship at the bat. Love it. What recharges your soul?
Traveling. It gives me a new breath of life when the grind of life can feel, when you're in the thicket of it and there's just a lot going on, going somewhere and just recharging is really just breathes a lot of life into my soul and makes me feel recharged.
I don't know. Sometimes when you travel, if you travel too hard, you need a vacation from that vacation.
Well, that is true, and that is a downside, right? Like, I have had those trips where you come back and it's like, oh my Lord, I need 3 days just to recoup from that.
Yeah, but I'm still not mad that I went.
Right.
How do you define love?
I would say empathy and respect. I think just really being able to relate with others and then giving them the respect that they deserve.
What is the most memorable life lesson you've learned from your parents, a guardian, or a mentor?
Yeah, so a mentor shared this with me in the last couple of years, and that really stuck with me. It's really just about picking your battles and being willing to negotiate, cooperate, but basically pick your battles, and it's better to get 75% of what you want than to be bullheaded and not get any of it at all because you're not willing to budge. And if you can't agree, if you can agree on X and Y, but not Z, focus on X and Y, work in those areas, find that common ground, because it's better to get some progress done than to not get any because you're too stuck in your ways.
Mm. That sounds like a lesson from some of our representatives at the federal level. I'm just saying.
You said the quiet part out loud, and thank you for doing that.
Hell yeah. Well, you know, I don't have any shame about saying the quiet part out loud. All right. Next segment. Well, you know what? Thank you for 21 questions. All right. Next segment, word association. This is where I'm going to say some words to you, and you're going to tell us what comes to your mind. There is a tradition here at the Cash, and that is this. We always start off with the same word. It is the word of unity. It is the word of happiness. You can't say the word without smiling. It is the word that makes you feel good, and that word is food.
All right. I can't disagree with that at all. You're right. I just smiled when you said food. Oh, this is a good one. For food, Mim's Charcoal Grill, Weather Vane, and then I love Chinese food, so Liang's and Oshkosh and Emperor's Buffet. Those are the four things when I think of food that make me smile.
Okay, wait. So give me your favorites.
Okay.
Now, I've heard of Mim's. I've never been to Mim's, but I've heard of Mim's, and people talk about that joint. Like, it's fantastic, fantastic.
It is nothing to mess around with. You need to go to Mim's. Phenomenal burgers, and the new owners are great. I really appreciate both of them immensely, and it's just a really good place to get a burger. Unfortunately, if you can't do dairy like me, you just got to pivot a little bit and just really hone in that you cannot do butter, because they will put an ungodly amount of butter on everything.
Bruh. That's some people's happy place.
I know it is. It's not mine, but if that is your jam, you definitely should go to Mim's.
What's the Weather Vane?
Great joint downtown Menasha. They have a whole array of different foods. They have breakfast and lunch. Amber and I just went a couple weeks ago, and I had haddock, and I think she had corned beef hash or something. So just a really great variety of food, and it's just really, really good.
Okay. Well, I know about Lee Yang's. I feel like Lee Yang's is like, well, what's your favorite thing?
I get the white rice and orange chicken.
Okay. All right.
Do you like Liang's?
I got a different joint that I go to in particular here in the Cache.
Okay.
I think the greatest Chinese, not sit down, but the greatest takeout Chinese food by far is China One. They have been around forever. They are reliable. It always tastes the same. I've been ordering China One, I feel, for like 20 years, and they're just solid. Now, Lee Yang's, I feel like that is where college students go and grab their Chinese food. Like, that is the, like, if you talk to somebody that's gone to UWO within recent times, there's like, oh, where are you like? Oh, Liang's. Like, it's there.
Because of the student special.
See? Oh! Bruh. That's what it is.
That's how they get you, and it's so good.
They know what they're doing.
They do. And And I'm okay knowing that they're just taking advantage of the situation. I will fully go along with it.
Well, is it taking advantage or are they providing a service? Because it's an affordable student meal.
I know. I'm just kidding.
It's just great
food.
I love it. An Emperor's Buffet.
Yes.
Oh, where's this?
On Oneida, when you're heading between Menasha and Appleton, like when you're heading towards Appleton, kind of towards downtown, it's near Walgreens.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I never knew what that was called.
Yes.
Is that place good?
It's really good. I think it's really good. We have some well-spirited conversations in our household. If it is or it isn't, this is a hill I'm willing to die on. It is a good place to go get food.
You said, I'm holding it down for them. I love that.
Bruh.
Okay. That is fantastic. I love a good Chinese buffet. Like, yes. After COVID, I didn't really know if many were left. Right? Because it just felt like buffets as a whole really took a hard hit.
Right.
And I don't know if many came back after COVID.
Yeah.
So, all right. Cocktail or beer?
I'm more of a cocktail guy, but I like beer too. And hands down, Sturgeon Spirits, which you mentioned at the beginning of the show, makes the best gin. I have not been there yet, and I'm so excited to go.
Oh! You need to go.
I know. Yes. I know. We need to go. Yes. And then if you're in downtown Menasha, Bare Bones Brewery and Tight Barrel Distillery, just the environment of being in there is so neat. Just a great place to hang out and meet with people. And they have great beer and great different cocktails that you can get.
What's your cocktail of choice?
I go between a Moscow Mule or a gin and tonic. But I think at the end of the day, gin and tonic's my drink.
That's it.
Yep.
All right. That's a good call. That's a classic. Shop local.
Yeah. So some great shops are Alyssa Kate and Company, Trilliage, and Back Porch Trades. I think Menasha's got a really vibrant downtown that's starting to really pick up momentum, and those are some really great shops we have in Menasha that we enjoy hanging out with the owners. They're great. They do a ton for the community, and they also have just really neat things there, and they're all a little different.
I do feel like Menasha might be in a transition point. Absolutely. Like they're trying to do some things.
Absolutely.
Okay, so wait, since I don't know these and I want to know, you got to tell me. So what is Alyssa and Kate, what do they sell?
Yeah, so they sell a variety of things. So it is owned by Sandy and Mike, and they do like some boutique things, children's clothing, repurposed furniture, soaps, candles. Like they do a whole array of neat things. They also put a plug in for local artists to have, I think they have earrings in Ann Anderson, who does local watercolor art. They have a lot of her greeting cards. They just do a lot of really neat things in that store.
Okay, so they're local.
Yes.
All right. That's a cool sport. Okay. Is it Trilliage?
That's how I say it. And other Sandy, if I said it wrong, I'm sorry. They do plants and little succulents and all kinds of really neat things. Nah, so if you're a plant guy, you should definitely go.
Oh yeah, look, there's nothing that adds energy and character to a space than some plants.
Agreed.
Like I don't know, they make me happy. And then in the back of my mind, I'm the science person in me. I don't have a science side. that makes me think of them creating fresh air in my space just for me.
They are.
I know, but that's how I think about them.
And I love that.
Okay, and Back Porch Trades.
Yeah, this is another really neat store in Menasha, and she really just has a plethora of different things, shirts and locally themed items like for Menasha, the high school, different candles, greeting cards, magnets, stickers. Like, honestly, like if you can think of something that would be a cool gift, you can probably find it there.
Okay. Concert.
Yeah. This is another absolute favorite thing of mine, is going to see a live performance. Last year, we were fortunate to go to a few. My favorite that I've seen so far are Post Malone, Disturbed, and Ed Sheeran. And I would really love to go see Noah Kahan.
Mm. My daughter went to go see Post Malone. She might have gone to go see it more than once. And she said that is the best concert. She was like, and I was thinking, I didn't think Post Malone would put on that level. But then again, there's a side of me that says his songs are the type of songs that a lot of people relate to, and I feel like everybody would be singing along at that concert, and it would have really high energy.
Post Malone, hands down, I'm going to make the statement, one of the greatest artists around right now. He puts on just a phenomenal show. He's just remarkably and ridiculously talented. I love that he can do rock songs. He did one with Ozzy Osbourne where he does the screaming and the vocals. He does rap. And now he's starting to dabble into country music. Like, that man can do no wrong musically. It's just ridiculous what he can sing.
Okay. Streaming.
Yeah. So I like to watch comfort shows. That is my thing. So Little People, Big World is a show that I've always watched and one day hope to get out to Oregon on the farm. It holds like a special place because I've grown up watching that show. Bob's Burgers reruns of Full House. And then another one that we watch sometimes is on Netflix called Ginny and Georgia. So I just like watching shows that I can rewatch. I know what's going to happen, and they're just really good comfort shows.
Do you just play them in the background, or are you actually, like, into the show?
Both. It depends, right? It depends what's going on. I can very intentionally watch any of these shows and absolutely enjoy it, but they're also great just for background noise.
My wife she's on my case. I saw the first season of Ginny and George, but I haven't gone into the second season. She's been on my case ever since because she loves that one.
Listen, I was skeptical, but it's a good show.
It's a very good show.
It is, and the second season's better.
Ah, okay. So you might have helped motivate me. And then Little People, Big World, I watched that. I used to watch that a lot, too, and I was very sad when they got divorced.
Me too. I'm still not over it, if we're going to just be really honest here. Mm-hmm. Just a travesty.
Well, I mean, I get it.
Right.
Personality-wise, I'm not saying it was... Personality-wise, I'm not saying it was healthy for them to stay together.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm not going to lie, our guy, he's a bit much.
He's a lot much.
He is a lot much. And so, but you know what made me sad? Like, so I quit watching for a while, and then more recently I started watching again when, you know, the things were going on with the land and he was trying to sell the land. And I couldn't have been more, and see, we're talking about reality TV where we're invested in ways we shouldn't be invested. But I couldn't have been more sad that he couldn't find a way to sell the land to the kids.
I know, and I share this with you. I feel like, with my little knowledge, because I know none of these individuals personally, it's all through the lens of reality TV, right? So I share that with you with the show, but how could you not have found a way to sell the land to Jeremy or Zach, your two oldest sons that have wanted that and kind of were led on all of their life to believe that one day they were going to get that farm?
Right.
Like, come on.
You got your loot out of the deal.
Yeah, now you go to Arizona for half the year. So just, like, be on your way and enjoy the weather.
And he would have still gotten TV money.
Exactly.
He still, because you know, he would have still been involved and wanted to have say in different things. But, I mean.
Maybe you need to have Matt on the cash and you can convince him to sell to one of them.
Nah, man. whatever it would take for them to sell, that would require a true professional and not my kind of professional. somebody else.
I don't know. I think you should try.
Well, you know what? If y'all are out there listening and you want to come on the Kosh, first of all, we have an open door policy here at the Kosh. You can be on if you want to. That is facts. Okay. Entrepreneurship.
Yeah, I see this every day in our downtown and just all businesses, period. I just really have a deep admiration for the folks that they're doing the thing. They're doing the small business and they're the backbone of our local economy. And I just see this really phenomenal energy happening in downtown Menasha. And I wish more folks would take notice of it because it's happening. They're trying to do cool different events. They did a holiday market, Toxic at the farmer's market, things like that. Like, there's a lot of energy going on downtown Menasha, and it's all because of these really amazing people that own businesses that are doing the work, and they're trying to bring the community together. So when I think of that word, I think of those folks.
Does Menasha have a farmer's market?
We don't right now. We're in the works of getting it back up and running. There is a lot of interest. We used to, and then, like many things, COVID, and we just haven't had it since.
Okay. So, all right. Gotta have a farmer's market. Like, just the best Saturday morning, like, activities.
I know. Just somewhere where folks can get fresh produce. They can get those little specialty things. Like, if you're into crafts, like, you just gotta have that space to go bum around a little bit.
Yeah, and it's just cool.
It is.
Right? It's just a cool thing to get up in the morning and look forward to and do your farmer's market. I am a huge fan of the food truck. So, you know, that's an opportunity to get some really good burritos. If you are an old school Kosh listener, you know that I am obsessed with burritos that used to be at the Oshkosh Farmer's Market. And yes, I wish the burrito man would show up again. I am still sad about you not being there anymore.
Well, this got dark really quick. I'm sorry.
No. Burritos, man. You don't understand the level of these burritos,
Austin. I don't.
They were solid. They were just that good.
Well, now I'm sad.
Every morning. Every Saturday morning, it was like I got up, grabbed two of these burritos, and then I was happy the rest of the Saturday because they were that good.
Okay, well, if Burrito Man, if you're listening, please bring back your burritos to Oshkosh and maybe come up to Menasha too.
Well, you know, at this point, I'm going to bless them. Since y'all are kicking it off again, you need to go find the Burrito Man.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
He drives crowds. It makes people show up. Last word, diversity.
Yeah, so for diversity, to me it's having a space to validate and have just pure awe of people who are different in every aspect from myself, and just having that space to truly honor our differences, appreciating and acknowledging it. That's diversity to me. Just everybody has an equal level of representation to just really admire each other's differences. That's really important to me.
Yeah, I like that. That was a really good definition, Austin.
Thank you.
I like that one. Okay. Next segment. The next segment is called the Kosh Hidden Gems. This is your opportunity to share a hidden gem with the Kosh listeners. That hidden gem can be something nobody knows about, or maybe it's something everybody knows about, but there's these details or these aspects of the gem that people don't know about or you don't think people know about. And the hidden gem is not limited to just the Kosh. It is in our entire region. So what is your hidden gem?
All right. I would say my hidden gem would be the UWO Fox Cities campus. I think that gets overlooked all of the time, and I think that is just a great facility.
Facts.
Bruh.
And then I also think Heckrod Wetland Reserve is another one that people need to get out and go there more. The trails are phenomenal. You walk there any given day, and you're going to have deer walking almost right up to you. It's just crazy. So those are my two hidden gems. I think people need to know about them more.
Oh, yeah. I've never been to Heckrod, and the idea of a deer walking up to me terrifies me just a little bit. But, you know, that's just my own personal thing.
They're really nice.
Yeah, that's what they say. But then if you haven't seen some of those YouTube videos where deer get I'm tainted by the net.
Okay. Yeah.
And then the UW Fox Cities campus, now that truly is, like, I don't think people know. You know, I used to have a veterans center on that campus. So I've spent time at that campus, and also being part of the formerly being on the Fox Cities Foundation Board. Like, that is a beautiful campus. There's things that people, I don't think they really know about the space there and what they could potentially offer or do. It's just really cool.
It is really cool. I mean, how cool to have a planetarium and a science museum and just a great facility, right? Menasha and the Fox Cities with the University of Wisconsin campus. I think that's all just really important, and I think folks just sometimes overlook it. So just a big shout out to the Fox Cities folks that are working hard to provide good education for people in our community.
Facts. And they got a gallery?
Yes.
You know, and I don't think a lot of people know it. Their auditorium is super nice.
Yes.
Like, I just think there's just a lot to it, and I don't know if the community knows, like, reach out to them. It's community. Like, yeah. There's an opportunity that, not saying you can utilize it, because God knows I don't have any say in that, but but it does. It never hurts to reach out to your UW system schools and see if there's an opportunity to use some of the facilities, because I mean, they are state funded.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So, okay. Well, at this time, we're going to take a small commercial break.
Did you know there are children in the Fox Valley in need of hearing aids, but their parents struggle to provide them because of lack of insurance or high copays? I am Juliet Sturkins, audiologist and board member of Here in the Fox Cities, and proud that this small local nonprofit organization has helped fund hearing aids for some 30 kids. Your donation would help more children hear. Visit hereinthefoxcities.org to learn more and to see their smiles. Every child deserves to hear.
Okay, we are back. And while we are taking this quick commercial break, I do want to just take a moment and say, hey, if you haven't been there yet, you need to go check out Sturgeon's Spirits Craft Distillery, the Kasha's newest tradition. And, you know, if you didn't know, if this is your first episode you've ever listened to, well, hello. And if it's not, you know that they have a cocktail called the Kosh there, and it is fantastic. So walk in there, ask for a Kosh. I can't stress enough about the environment. It is, Austin, wait till you go. You're going to be like, this is the coolest thing ever, because it's different.
Well, and I'm excited. Like I said, best gin, hands down. They beat everybody else out of the park.
Yes. And you know what I like about it is that, once again, they don't have any TVs. So, like, you have to interact, and you get to meet really cool people there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's not that setting. Like, it doesn't have all of this other distraction going on. Like, it's truly that third space to engage and enjoy and relax.
I love that. That makes me want to go all the more than I already did.
Oh, yeah. Well, when you go, just make sure you ask for the cash. That's just that's just my bias. Okay, now it is truly time for what is my favorite segment of the Kosh, and that is story time. This is an opportunity for our guests to tell the Kosh listeners an awesome story. That story can be about absolutely anything. Okay, what do you have?
All right, well, for story time, I guess I'll just share a trip that my wife Amber and I went on last year, because it's just a really memorable thing, and I just hope that folks are able to also find their third place, like you kind of mentioned, that space that's your refuge, or just somewhere that just brings you utter pure joy. So last fall, we decided to go out to Boston and Salem, Massachusetts, something that's been on our bucket list for a number of things. I am huge into history. I'm huge into political science. So Boston, a lot of great, amazing things happened. JFK is from Massachusetts, and he's my favorite president, so definitely had to go to the JFK Presidential Library, which was my favorite. I cannot say the same for my wife, but that is besides the point.
Bruh.
But it's just one of those trips that will forever be ingrained in my mind as a good memory, and I just share the story because I think it's really important for folks to go. But more of the story, not so much Boston, but Salem. It is this really neat city that you got to drive like 40 minutes. But granted, I'm going to preface, if there's traffic, like that's out the window. You could be sitting in your car for 2 hours to get there, right? So on a good day, I think it's 35 to 40 minutes to get there. But you get into this quaint little city of about 40 to 45,000 people. Gorgeous Federalist-style buildings as far as the eye can see. Neat history because it's where the 1692 witch trials happened. Cool things like the Parker Brothers board games, and one of the buildings is based off of the board game Clue, the murder that happened in this building. So that's how the Clue board game even came to be, was because of that. But we just had this really cool moment while we were on that trip where we were sitting in this park, and it's actually also the birthplace of the National Guard. So it's got a cool armory and all these cool things. And I just hope for everybody that's listening, you have that place that just is a good memory. Maybe when life is feeling stacked up or you have a lot going on, that you have that cool memory of a place that you went, that you just sat there, soaked in the sun, and thought, wow, like this is just amazing. So my story is just a really neat trip that we went on recently. Just the history, going on the tours, seeing the gorgeous old Federalist style buildings, and the political history is just really impressionable on me. And just seeing cool things other communities are doing and having that inspiration, that it makes you love your own community back home all the more because you see these cool things that other people are doing.
Kind of make you have appreciation for what your community is doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And that there's just good people everywhere you go. It just makes you appreciate humanity more. That institutions work and government can be a good thing and a tool that if you know how to use it, you can do a lot of good. So my story is just this really cool trip that we went on, and I just share it because it's something that is breathed a lot of life into me. And I just hope for listeners that they have that place that they go, or maybe it's somewhere local, maybe it's far away. I think for everybody it's different, but it just gives you a deeper appreciation for the things around you. And all the more oomph or inspiration, whatever you want to call it, to do good where your community is.
What was your wife's favorite thing on that trip?
Not the JFK Presidential Library.
I got that part.
I think her favorite part of the trip was all of the shops, because there's just like probably 100 plus little locally owned shops as far as the eye can see. You can pop around between them. There's a lot of really neat shops that you walk into and it's a shop, right? Like they might make wands, or they might make
wands.
Yeah, like there's like one of them's like a Harry Potter themed shop where you can go pick out your wand, right? Or it just sells t-shirts or whatever. And then all of a sudden the owner walks up to you. Hey, for $5 you can go into the back room and see this really cool display. And then he kind of got exchanged a look like, we're shopping right now, but sure, here's like, fall right into the tourist trap. Here's $10. We'll go into the back room. And they have props from like really neat movies that were filmed there, like the Hubie Halloween one on Netflix. Oh. Or what is the one with the three witches is everywhere there?
Hocus Pocus.
Yeah.
Yes.
But like every store, for a couple dollars, you can go into my back room. And see this really cool display. And it's just fun because everybody just is really into the culture. They're really into the history. They're really into it. And it's just really cool to see people just genuinely enjoying themselves. Like you just look around and everybody's there just having a good time. Cobblestone streets, really walkable, beautiful parks. Like it's just neat. So I just going there was just a lot of inspiration. And I look in my own city and I see the possibilities are endless, and there's so many great, amazing people just like the trip we went on. And I see all of that unearthed potential there to have. I want people to have that same feeling when they come to Menasha.
All right, let me ask you the real question.
All right.
What was the food? How was the food?
Food was great.
Yeah, I mean, what was the specialty?
Oof. Okay, I would say Turner's Seafood, hands down, was the best. Like, if you want to have the best fish possible, you're right on the East Coast.
Yes, that's because you didn't even mention, like, seafood. I'm thinking to myself, you got to talk about the food.
Yeah, I just messed up big time. Yeah, the food is great. I will say coffee, not so much, and that breaks me to say. So we have great coffee around here. And I'm appreciative of that, and it made me love the coffee we have around here all the more, because their food, seafood, was phenomenal, but the coffee was just average. And I never perceived myself to be a coffee snob until that trip.
I love that. Yes. Well, okay. Hey, you know what? There's something to that. If you're a true coffee drinker, like, everybody's coffee is not good coffee.
It is not.
You know. And there is an art form to it. I've learned that about tea, too.
Yeah.
Like, you got to know how to really steep tea. I have this thing where, you know, forever I make tea. That's what I do. And I always thought it was seep. So I've been telling people, you know, it's seep tea and you seep it for a couple of this many minutes and da da da, right? And then somebody finally said, you know, that's steep, right? And I was like, really? So I've been saying this word wrong this whole time. And now I don't really want to change because now I just feel like I'm going to impose my will and make that the word.
Yeah, just change the word.
Yeah.
They're saying it wrong, not you.
Yeah, I like that. You got it wrong. I don't have it wrong.
Bruh.
Okay. Thank you for that story. And now it is time. Every single time it makes me happy. And this makes me happy, too, that it is time for the topic of the week. And the topic of the week is chosen by our guest 99.9% of the time, and today is no different. So, Austin, what's our topic of the week?
Our topic of the week is going to be running for office when you are young and have experience to run for office.
Bruh.
Let's go.
Yeah, I just want to start this by thanking all of my fellow politicos out there who are young and pursuing office or currently serving in office. I appreciate all of you, and I just want to start first and foremost with gratitude for all the folks that are doing the work. But right now, you know, I'm 26 years old, and I'm running for mayor of a city, and it's, you know, the population of Menasha is about 18,500 people. And then if you think of the Fox cities at large, each city's got varying population, but it's a really great area with a lot of connectivity, and you can find just about anything you want. And I think the Fox cities is just one of the best places in the country to be, and there's a ton to do. But I think sometimes there is a lot of scrutiny with running for office when you're young, and the concept or the social construct of what experience means. For a lot of people, it's the amount of years you have served in a job. And that's a huge uphill battle, I think, for anybody who's young and looking for running for office, because fact of the matter is the days of working one job for 30, 40 years, and then you get your pension and you're on your way, right? Because you got all the benefits, you got all the things. Those jobs don't exist anymore.
Not many.
And a lot of people in my age bracket, like, you need to switch jobs to one, well, two things here. Recently graduating from college and working on a graduate degree, a lot of that's finding your niche and finding what is the best fit for you. So a lot of people, when they come out of college, are going to probably have a few different jobs because they're gaining that willful experience. So this is just a topic I'm really passionate about, that experience is not a one-size-fits-all, and it's not necessarily the continuation of tenure of being at one job, but rather it can be combined experiences. So for me, it's serving on different boards. I'm on the City of Menasha Common Council. I also serve on the Brotherton Indian Nation Council, which is the only tribe in Wisconsin not federally recognized, and I'm really proud to be part of that community. And I've had the opportunity to be a development director at the Atlas Science Center. And for a couple of years, I was the outreach coordinator for the Greater Fox Cities Area Habitat for Humanity, and I did a lot with the Rock the Black program.
Okay. Tell us more.
All right.
And here's where I think I would like the angle, and to shift it is, I think there's a lot of advantage to young leadership. It's a thoughtfulness, it's a fresh set of eyes and fresh set of ideas, and experience is nice, but what if you get someone experienced that wasn't good at what they did while they were gaining the experience? I'm just being real.
Well, you're right, though. There's people that have been in office for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and it's like, I deserve to have X job. And it's like, right, you've been in there for all of those years, but what did you accomplish, and what's going to be different in this next couple of years that you didn't do in the last 40 years?
And then my other part about that is okay, I feel like when you're young and you're making your run at a thing such as an office, like, you always feel like you're always on defense. Well, I want to give you an opportunity to go on offense.
Yeah.
What does that look like? Let's go. Let's put you on offense for once. Instead, let's not defend it. Let's celebrate it. What do we celebrate?
I think we celebrate an opportunity to keep forward momentum that the city of Menasha is having, right? I think Mayor Marcus has done a phenomenal job, and I'm forever appreciative of him and grateful for his friendship and all the great things that he's done for our city. I think as a young person, just knowing the experiences of being part of the first generation that are statistically worse off than their parents' generation and the previous generations before them, but rather than being in dismay and being discouraged about the situation, wanting to get involved to make the situation better for everybody. So jumping in headfirst, we've gone through, if you think of this age group, 9/11 happened and changed social rules and cues and how we looked at the world and interacted with each other. You had the recession, and then you had a pandemic, and obviously everybody else also had all those things, but all those things happened in a really compact amount of time. For a lot of young people right now, affordable and accessible housing is a difficulty. It's not out there. We're competing with people, we're competing with outside private entities with cash offers that are just inflating the market, and it's driving up housing prices, and it's driving up interest rates. So I think being young and having that intuition and being in the thicket of all of the things that are going on, don't lose hope, but lean in and get involved. I guess that would be my advice and why I'm running. I'm running for mayor because I think government, like anything else, is a tool. And if you know how to use it and you know that other people are not the enemy just because they don't because they might disagree with you on things, you can do a lot of really good things. So I'm running for mayor. Yes, I'm young. I have some experience that I'm proud of, and I'm running because I want to lead for tomorrow. My things that I'm passionate about are economic responsibility. Let's use folks' tax dollars wisely. Be cognizant of it. Let's have community pride. Menasha's 150th birthday is this year. We have a lot to celebrate. We have a lot to plan for. And then sustainability. Let's take care of our water. Our city motto is your place in the water. Let's make sure our water is clean for the next generations, because there's so many places around the world that would give anything for fresh water. And I think we take that for granted all of the time. So keeping our green spaces, expanding our trails, those are all things that are really important to me. And then affordable and accessible housing options. I've heard and I've read that government can't do anything about housing. Well, I say, yes, you can. You can look for developments and seek them out and do collaborative partnerships to provide affordable and accessible housing. Work with entities like Habitat for Humanity. Have programs like the Strong Neighborhood Program that gives matching opportunities for funding for folks that live in the city to do improvements on their houses. I think all of those things are crucial and they're important. And I really, to my core, believe that affordable housing is to the paramount of the success for tomorrow. Everybody deserves somewhere safe to live that they're able to afford and flourish.
When you're running, like, the questions always kind of head in certain categories, right?
Yep.
It's you're talking about these things, right? And I think we just heard some of it.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. What's something that you never get to talk about that you're really passionate about? Like something that isn't, maybe it's not on people's radars, or it's not high enough on the totem pole that you wish you got an opportunity to share a little bit more about?
Yeah, I think for me, something, and this is just maybe just a common sense thing that we all take for granted or appreciate, but having government or being a elected official that is accessible and making sure government is transparent and accessible for all. Some of the things that I admire with neighboring communities, I love that the Appleton mayor does office hours and parks and different things around the community. As mayor, I'm not only going to be present in the community when there's an election, right? Like, I'm going to be at people's...
Yeah, you can't do that. You got to be
right
present.
You have to be present. So the part I don't get to talk about that I'd like to is that I'm really excited for this job. If I am so given the opportunity, I view elected office like a lease. It's beholden to the people, not me. And hopefully I get another lease when my renewal's up. Hopefully people are like, yeah, you're all right. You get another 4 years, right? Like, that's what I'm hoping for. But one of my things that I'm really passionate about is making sure government's relatable to people, that they don't feel discouraged or like there's too much jargon, and they're able to get their essential services. I'm accessible and I'm out in the community. So that's important to me. And I really wish I could talk about that more, is that I'm running to be a public servant, and I'm running because I love this community, and I'm going to be around. If you need something, I'm going to be here for you. And we don't have to agree on everything. That's quite all right, because that's how democracy and living in a republic works.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And what I like about what you're saying is, like, there's truly, if you're going to do it really well, you have to understand the importance of the engagement piece.
Right.
Like, there needs to be engagement. You know, I know a leader that when things get challenging, they never avoid it. They run head first right at it and sit down with the individuals and talk about the things.
Right.
You know, and don't dance around it or avoid the things or anything like that. Like, actually to actually go forward and actually talk about the things. And what I've learned more often than not is it's usually not nearly as contentious as it seems. Most people just really want to be heard. And there's some really good solutions sometimes that come out of those conversations, where that's another lens, where there it lends to the opportunity to find a new or a different way to do something.
Well, and that's just it. And I think collaboration and doing things through a filter are key. And one thing that comes to mind an awful lot, I was newly elected to the Common Council. I care a lot about sustainability. No mo me is something that is a beloved and hated thing equally, and it's right in this area.
It is loved and hated.
so much. And one thing that I'm part of is being the chair of the Sustainability Committee. And I was able to get it to be a full-fledged committee rather than an ad hoc. So every time a new council's voted in, one of them is elected to the Sustainability Committee to keep that grit, keep that accountability, and keep that continuity that sustainability is important, right? And I brought a resolution forward, or excuse me, an ordinance to adjust for No More May, just for 1 year. Let's try it out. Let's see if we like it. Like, you can let your lawn grow longer. Well, there is some folks that weren't thrilled about that, and I lost in a 5-3. It did not move forward, and the following year came about, and you know, the discussion came, do you put it forward again? And I, as a representative and as an individual, had to make a choice. Do I want to potentially inflame conversations and create contention, or do I find other ways to meet people to accomplish a common goal? So rather than bringing forward No More May, we did something that other communities like the city of Kaukauna, the city of Madison are doing, which is Low Mo May. You don't adjust the ordinance, you follow the rules, but you encourage people to diversify their lawns with low flowering plants. You mow your lawn a little higher than normal. And I thought that was a good approach by recommendations and science through the University of Minnesota to be able to do the same thing for our pollinators. That's really important. So that's a good life lesson for me so far while on the council, that I might come in with an idea that I think is the bee's knees, no pun intended.
Bruh.
And I might have to be corrected and correct course to be able to match what the community wants, and that's okay. And the outcome might be better that people, you know, we don't have No More May, but folks, remind them, if you follow the ordinance, your front lawn is your front lawn. It does not have to be Kentucky blue grass. Right? You don't have to have like the movie front lawn. If you want to mix flowering plants, that's your God-given right. Like, go ahead and go for it. If you want to create those spaces for our pollinators, do it. But by having the processes of talking to people and listening, you can learn in order to be an effective leader.
You know, one of the things that made me come up with is what's Menasha's policy or ordinance on chickens?
I got them passed last year with a colleague of mine. We didn't have chickens until last year, okay. Actually.
And the reason I asked is because that one is also one of those things that can get really contentious. Like, people have big feelings about chickens
They do have big feelings about chickens. And my colleague that I co-introduced the ordinance with, he tried when he was a new elder person, like similar to my no mo may, and was voted down. And I know it's been attempted throughout the years, right? And we were very diligent to go through the planning commission and get all the legal things adequately right, make sure there is a lot of checks and balances, meet with constituents that really want it. We were able to get it passed, but I think it was just really important to go through the motions and make sure people at the table felt included. Chickens just are a really hot topic, and you wouldn't think they would be.
Oh, no, they're fire.
They are, and it's just like, for me, it's like if you own your own home and you have property and you want chickens, I think they're good with food scraps. I was just talking to someone recently that said that's helped tremendously. You get eggs. They're good with bugs and things like that in the backyard. But at the end of the day, it's your backyard. If you're following the rules and you want chickens, I'm not advocating for you to have like a rhinoceros in your backyard. But if you want some chickens, like, go for it. And some of the fear that people had, and I don't mean this in a negative connotation whatsoever, but like bird flu was a conversation that came up around chickens. Well, all our neighboring municipalities allow it. So if a bird flu outbreak happens, it's not going to stop at the borders of Menasha and say, whoa, hold up. They don't have an ordinance that allows us here. So we're gonna go the other way. We can't go there.
That's right. Bird flu is not allowed here. You know what I liked about this conversation right now? This was a conversation of experience. So what you were talking about at the beginning about having this experience, these two subjects show your experience.
Yeah.
And that's really cool.
Oh, I appreciate that. And it's been genuinely an honor of my life to be elected to the Common Council. I really enjoy meeting people. We have great city staff, awesome small businesses. Like, it really, it's just good work that I'm just forever thankful to have the opportunity to do.
And constituents, if you don't know how hard it is to pass chicken ordinance, that is not easy.
It is not.
Oh, man. People think that's a joke. Now, I'm not joking.
No.
All right. Well, are there any last things that you didn't get an opportunity to speak about on your subject that you would like to share with our listeners now?
Yeah, I would just say, if you're listening and you're thinking about running for office, don't count yourself out because of your age or because there's some misconception of what experience looks like. If your heart is in the right place and you have a passion and you're out in your community, by all means do it. It is such a fun, challenging, rewarding experience, and I think we need folks to run for office of all ages and all backgrounds and all walks of life that are running to be public servants, whether you are whatever end of the spectrum, whatever age, whatever career you have, it is important. So I just want to finish this opportunity as an encouragement that please run for office. Just because you're young does not count you out. And in fact, I think it is an advantage because there's a lot of things currently happening that you're very intuitive to, and you're leading for the next generation, and it's important to you. And I would just like to also encourage, there's been a lot of people before us that are young who have ran for office. Most of the founding fathers of this country were 35 and under. I'm just going to put that out there.
Facts. All right. Thank you, Austin.
Absolutely.
And at this time, we're going to start winding down this episode. All right. Kosh listeners, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for spending time with us. Thank you for giving us your minds and ears. Thank you for having interest in another amazing community member out here doing amazing things. I think it's pretty, you know what? When I was 26, I sure wasn't ready to run for something. So I think that having an engaged population of our young adults here who are ready, who are knowledgeable, who can, like, what does that say? It says so much about who we are as a community, and it also says so much about the direction of where our community is. Because I think we're ready for these leaders. And these leaders care about their community. They're really closely tied to the community. So I can't stress that enough. Make sure you give a good look at it. Now, on to the Kosh. You know, we are a work in progress. We want to become the best podcast in Northeast Wisconsin. How do we do that? We do it with your help. And how do you help us? Well, a couple of ways you help us. Number one, if you would like to be a guest. Number two, if you would like to recommend a guest. Number three, reach out to us and tell us how we can be better. If you got better segments, better ideas, better things to make this show flow better, don't hesitate to reach out to us. And reach out to us at askthekosh@gmail.com. Once again, askthekosh@gmail.com. Also, we think we have something very, very special here at the Kosh with what we're already doing. We would like to get ourselves in front of more community members' eyes and ears. And how do we do that? Well, it's called analytics. And so what I need you to do is, while you're listening to the Kosh, hit that subscribe button. And then also leave us a review. Take a minute or two and just leave us a review, good, bad, or indifferent. Tell us how we're doing. And what this does is this increases the analytics of our show, which will then push us out in front of more eyes and ears of our community members so they can learn about this special podcast called The Kosh. All right. Now it is time for shout outs. Austin, what do you got?
Yeah. So my shout outs, the first one's to my wife, Amber, just for all of her support. Doing so much for the community. I couldn't do any of this without her. My family and friends who have just been remarkably supportive through this journey. Wickman Handiworks, Eli and Chelsea are phenomenal. I'm appreciative for all they do for the community. James and Anastasia at Club Liquor, just a great place, a great business in downtown Menasha. Bree at Sweet Layer. I didn't mention this yet, but if you want one of the best cups of coffee around, you should pop into Sweet Layer. Just a great place, great atmosphere. And then I just want to thank all of my friends who are running for office or are elected to office. Thank you for the work that you do. I appreciate all of you.
All right, thank you. My shout-outs this week, I think we're going to keep it on a shorter end. First, I want to give a shout-out to Sherry Fetting over at a Better Chance program, or better known as ABC. I want to send a shout out to Katie Olson of Esther. These, you know, in my position, I get an opportunity to really have engagement with a lot of different people in our community who are trying to make a difference, and not trying, but are making a difference. And the work that they're doing is like invaluable. So when I get to have these great conversations, I just always want to make sure and tell them, I appreciate you. Thank you for all you are doing for all of us. And I learn something with every meeting, and I can't, like, that's invaluable. Want to send a shout out to the Herd for their Black History Month game that I went to last night. They did a fantastic job. Like, y'all done came a ways. They did such a good job giving the recognitions and acknowledgments to those who from our Black and African American community who are out here making a difference and creating impact. Just nice work. Want to send a shout out to Greta Lax, who I am getting some professional coaching from. And, you know, no matter where you are along your journey, personally or professionally, having mentors and coaches to help you see things that you can't see, or to give you new ideas, is just an invaluable thing. And I do that too. So I just want to say thank you for taking time and coaching me up, trying to become better. And last and never least, I want to send a shout out to the wife. Once again, my wife, who allows me to record this podcast in our house. I can never thank her enough because that's just the truth. She is very loving and tolerant of me and my technological shenanigans, which I have a lot of technological quirks and shenanigans that happens, and she puts up with me. But you know what, baby? You're stuck with me regardless. So I'm sorry to tell you, I ain't going nowhere. I'm just saying. All right. We got one last thing to do, and that is this. You get three choices. The three choices are this. Option A, you can share some parting words of wisdom with the Kosh listeners. Option B, you can tell us, what would yourself today tell your 13-year-old self? And option C, you could do both. What are you, where are we going?
You know, I'll be ambitious. I will do option C.
Hey! Awesome.
Yeah. If now I could tell my 13-year-old self anything, it would be to hang in there and be okay with not being sure what you want to do when you're older, and just things happen with time. That would be my advice. Just hang in there. It's okay that you aren't sure. I am probably like a lot of people. I didn't have that one thing that was like my I'm good at and this is my life and whatever. Like you looked around and it felt like everybody had that niche, right? And I enjoyed people and I enjoyed doing fun things with my friends, but I didn't know exactly what I wanted to be, and I kind of floundered a little bit. So I would just say hang in there. You're going to figure it out because you're going to meet a lot of amazing people throughout this ride, and you're going to eventually feel called to a path in your life that's going to be more rewarding than you could ever imagine.
Okay. Wait, that was your 13-year-old self. Were you going to give us the words of wisdom too?
Yes. Yep. Yeah,
let's go.
One of my parting words is a anonymous Greek proverbs. There's a few different variations of it, but society grows great when old men plant trees whose shade they shall never sit in. That thing that really sits with me when I think about it, and I try to think of that when I lead and plan, and that's the type of leader I want to be. And then another quote that I really like from Bobby Kennedy, from 1968, who ran for president, not his son who's running for president now. I just want to preface that. Every generation inherits a world it never made, and as it does so, it automatically becomes the trustee of that world for those who come after. In due course, each generation makes its own accounting to its children.
Facts. All right, Austin, what'd you think?
This was great. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you for coming on the Kosh.
Thank you.